And we're back. This is Jim Santel. This is Morning Cannolis. Thank you so much for joining me on this bright and beautiful morning here in Wisconsin, throughout the United States of America. It is a good time to be talking about criminal process and investigations and how those play out, especially as we were right before the break talking about the events in South Florida and the decision by a federal magistrate judge to permit law enforcement, federal law enforcement, probably with the assistance of local and state authorities, to go into the former president's residence in South Florida at Mar-a-Lago, again, based upon this determination by an independent, a nonpartisan judge, that there would, in fact, be evidence of a crime in that location. That's the fundamental notion behind the Fourth Amendment and the concept that Americans have a right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, not all searches and seizures. When there is, in fact, evidence of a crime, judges, upon a presentation by law enforcement, can authorize law enforcement to go in. And that's exactly what happened here. We know once again that Magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhart had before him some FBI agents who swore to an affidavit, which we're going to talk about in some greater detail, to support that finding of his, that there was probable cause to find that there would be evidence of this, of some criminal activity in that location. And specifically, what did he say? He said, well, first of all, we're going to give you authorization to go into the premises. He identifies them with particularity, which is a very important point, a specific location. Can't simply tell law enforcement, go in and search generally. You've got to be specific about where you're going in. He identifies in his warrant, his authorizing document, a specific address, 1100 South Ocean Boulevard in Palm Beach, Florida. And it is described in his authorizing document as a resort, a club, a residence located near the intersection of Southern Boulevard and South Ocean Boulevard. Could not be any more particular. And again, a fundamental notion behind the execution, the getting of search warrants, is it's got to be a specific location. And even inside that location has to be very particularized. And so Judge Reinhart goes on to say, this is a location, we describe it as a mansion, as he says. It's 58 bedrooms, it's 33 bathrooms on a 17-acre site. And goes on then to say that he is authorizing law enforcement to go in and search specific locations on that estate. And he describes a 45 office, which is presumably in reference to Donald Trump's position as the 45th president of the United States of America. It says you can go into storage rooms and all other rooms or areas within the premises, the estate, or available to be used by the former president and his staff, in which boxes or documents could be stored, including structures or buildings on the estate. So it's a very broad commission, but nonetheless described with some particularity, again, by a judge, based upon the presentation of these FBI agents and authorities. And then, very significantly, he says in his warrant, the covering pages to it, his authorizing document, that he finds that there could in fact be there evidence called contraband, fruits of crime, other items illegal possessed in violation of some specific federal statutes. Title 18. Title 18 of the United States Code is the portion of the United States Code that establishes criminal offenses, that establishes penalties for doing things in violation of federal law. And the judge identifies three statutes in particular, Section 793, Section 2071, and Section 1590. And he says, you know, all of those, any of those could support, by virtue of what they prohibit, the warrant that he is issuing. And we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about each one of those, but for example, Section 793 of Title 18 talks about and makes a prohibition on gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information, things that go to our national security to keep us safe and secure. Likewise, 2771 and 1519, other statutes in the federal criminal code that make it a violation of the law to destroy property and destroy documents that are properly within the government ambit, the authority of government to maintain records. Likewise, anybody who destroys those documents, who in some way creates the situations where they can in fact be altered or in some way concealed. All those statutes talk about documents and the need to preserve the integrity of those documents in the federal system. And so Judge Reinhart says that under those statutes, he is permitting the law enforcement authorities to go in and seize documents anywhere that he has described on the estate, very broadly understood. And beyond that, he says any physical documents with classification markings, along with any containers or boxes in which those documents are located. Goes on to say you can also receive information, including communications in any form regarding the retrieval, the storage, or the transmission of national defense information or classified material. Goes on to say you can also seize things that are in violation of the Presidential Records Act, which was created between materials created between January 20th of 2017 and January 20th of 2021. Materials that would be subject to preservation and retention under something called the Presidential Records Act for the term of Donald Trump's presidency. He identifies those with particularity. And then it goes on to say, if you've got any other evidence that you find there that's related to the alteration, the destruction, or the concealment of any government or presidential records, you can take those as well. And that, for the most part, is what we know to this point about the authorization to go in. We know that there were boxes of materials that were seized by those federal agents pursuant to that properly issued warrant under the Fourth Amendment, under those statutes, given review by the magistrate judge, Bruce Reinhart, in South Florida. Very important to understand that this was not simply a unilateral decision by federal authorities, by the attorney general, who does not have the authority in and of himself, nor does any U.S. attorney or assistant U.S. attorney. You've got to get to a judge and who will make that specific finding of probable cause. I will tell you that in my own history, there have been times when one presents what we believe is probable cause, and the magistrate judge or the judge will look at it and say, Mr. Santel, I do not concur. I think that this does not establish probable cause. And why do I tell you that story? I tell you that story because it underscores the notion that this is not a rubber stamp. You've got judges who are doing that check on the executive branch, on the Department of Justice, to determine whether or not probable cause exists. And only when that finding is made does that judge then say, yes, indeed, I'm going to authorize what for a particular place, as this judge did. Also a particular time in the warrant, he prescribes a time-specific period during which this can be executed. And judges also look for something called freshness. I have no doubt that in the underlying affidavit, which we will now talk about, the judge is also looking for the currency, the recency of this information, the reliability of the witnesses who are no doubt memorialized in the supporting affidavit, which we're then going to talk about because that is also the next subject of review in this matter involving the search of the premises in Mar-a-Lago. We're going to talk more about the underlying affidavit in this search warrant when we come back right here on WAUK. This is Morning Cannolis, the Shaw in Waukesha, 540 AM, 101 FM. Also, again, taking your phone calls throughout this morning, this hour and next, at 844-967-2789.